Well, we are lighting the candles of Advent and talking about the emotions of Christmas. And we started with the candle of peace, moving from anxiety to peace. Then last week we lit the candle of joy, moving from sorrow to joy. And today we're going to light the candle of hope. And we're going to talk about moving from despair to hope. So, Christmas Eve, we'll light the next candle. And on Christmas morning, we'll light the Christ candle. So, Father, we ask right now, that as we do these tangible things of lighting candles, Lord, they're representative of what you want to do in a spiritual sense. I ask, Lord, today that hope would be lit in each one of our hearts. Dispel the darkness, and may the joy of the Lord bring hope in our lives. Amen. Amen. Well, this morning was an example of needing to have hope. I woke up this morning and there was a message on my phone from David, Pastor David, saying, you know, give me a call when you wake up. He had sent it about 5 a.m. And so I called him about 7:30 and I could hardly hear him talk. He was just, his voice was all raspy, and he said, I think I can speak. And but, you know, on further talking, I just said, David, you need to stay home and get better. But that meant there was no one to lead worship this morning, because David was going to do worship, and he was going to do the message. And so we thank the Lord that Marco was called in, and he was able to do things. And then I realized, okay, I need to get a message for this morning. And so our hope is that this is all going to come off. And in the middle of all this, I had a call, email that had come in that their water was dripping down in the basement. In one of the washrooms, and the water was dripping all over the floor. So we called upon one of the members of our church who is very gracious, and he came in this morning and took care of that. But all of this just piled one on another. I got a phone call. I called Beth. Beth jumped in and did what she had to do to get things going. And you know, you can almost, not despair, despair is a strong word, but certainly anxiety and despair comes in the midst of all this, and we realize really this is just a common thing, that it's just a part of life, that we're going to go through these experiences. And so when you do it, you say, well, Lord, you know, and we'll do our best. And so when we started off, I thought, well, there certainly will be no sermon handout sheet, because there's no way I can do this. But you know, as the morning unfolded, and I hope that you picked up a sermon sheet when you came in, despair to hope, and we'll trust that this will be meaningful to you. And we want to continue to pray for Pastor David that he'll recover quickly and be back to his normal selves. So, Lord, we do just right now, we just pray for Pastor David, that you would be with him. May he recover quickly. May he be able to enjoy this time with his family. And Lord, we pray for others that are here and not able to be here today because of physical things. And Lord, we ask that you would just touch and heal and compensate for all the things that we go through. We ask, Lord, this morning we really can can move to a realm of hope that's much stronger than what we ever thought about in the past. I pray and ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, when I was thinking about hope, we all are familiar with the scripture in 1 Corinthians 13 that talks about there remain these three things: faith, hope, and love. And the greatest of these is love. And these three words go together very often in the scripture: faith, hope, and love. And the verse that came to my mind was 1 Thessalonians 5:8. And it says this: "But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and as a helmet, the hope of salvation." So there's a breastplate of faith and hope, of faith and love, and the helmet of hope. Now, why would it say this? And this is the first thing I put in your notes. Faith and love are matters of the heart. Faith and love are matters of the heart. Hope is a matter of the mind. And so there's a breastplate of faith and love. But there, and you know, faith springs from our heart, or faith in God. And love comes from inside, from our heart. But it's interesting. Hope is a helmet. It protects our mind. It protects our thinking. Hope is to be the predominant mindset that we are to have. Hope. It's very important that we have hope. I've said it many times. You've heard me say it many times. It's just in my mind all the time when I think about hope. Hope is the confident expectation that things are going to get better. Just a confident expectation. No matter what I'm going through right now, things are going to get better. What is best is going to happen. Just a confident expectation. If you look up the meaning of despair, interestingly, it just says this: the loss of hope. Despair is the loss of hope. Goes on, a feeling of hopelessness that causes us to give up. What's the use? Nothing's going to get better. It's only going to get worse. Despair is the absence of hope. I saw this quote and jotted it down years ago. Man can live about 40 days without food, about 3 days without water, about 8 minutes without air, but only 1 second without hope. And that's so true. It's the loss of hope that causes so much despair, causes suicide. There's nothing to live for. Nothing's going to get better. I need to just end this because it's only going to get worse. And you might continue to exist and in a hopeless state for a while, but really you won't live. The difference between existing and living, taking life, using life, enjoying life, if you don't have hope, then it's a terrible state of despair. And sadly, people live in that state. I was, when I just this morning was running some references on this, and I saw this statement from a mission center leader, who people that come in off the streets and they minister and feed them and help them. And he said this: "Not everyone who comes to us is addicted, but without a doubt, everyone has lost hope." There's no direction. There's no purpose for living. There's no anticipation. Things are just bad, and they're going to get worse. And so why should I even try to continue? It's a state of that causes you then to take substances and overdose on not just chemical things, but you can overdose on trying to, you know, lust and so many different pursuits you follow, because there's no essence of living. There's no reason to live. And so you just sort of get down and down on all of this. And when I was reading on this website, their center, this mission center, was a sign that said, "Hope is served here. Hope is served here." I hope that this church is a place where hope is served here. I hope your life is an advertisement for hope, that you cause hope in individuals that you meet because of the hope that's burning inside of you, the fuel that's burning inside of you, that it's being expressed out to others, that enlightens people and warms people. Hope is a marvelous thing. It really is. We don't think, like when we think, what is the three greatest things? Well, yes, faith, and yes, love. I wonder if we really would say hope. That expectation that things are going to get better. I tell you, Christians should be the most hopeful people. I mean, we should just exude hope. It should come from our life. We should be confident. We should be optimistic. We should face every day with a joy and excitement because we have hope. Hope. That expectation that what is wanted today, what is needed today, what is best today is going to happen. And so it's a state of mind. It's a disposition of a mindset that Christians should have. And so you should ask yourself, do I have hope? Now, when I was thinking about this morning, this thought crossed my mind. Your view of the future determines your level of hope. Your view of the future determines your level of hope. It's all a mindset of how are you viewing the future. I don't know whether we've actually thought about it enough to delve into why do you feel the way you feel? For it's the future. It's expectation going forward will determine your level of hope that's in your life moving forward. Where do we gain our vision of the future? It's usually an extrapolation of the past, where I am now, and we project it into the future. This is what happened in the past. This is what I'm experiencing right now. So we project it into the future. Now, is that projection always right? Well, we've lived long enough to know that some of the things you worried about do not happen. You can worry and worry and worry, and you know what? It wasn't as bad. You know, there's a big snowstorm coming on Thursday. And we had an event planned for Anchor Board, and they were coming from all over Ontario to come, and so we canceled that event on Thursday. Now, I'm not saying it wasn't bad, and I'm not saying we shouldn't, but you know, when Kay and I looked out the window, we said, you know, we probably could have had that event. It's not quite as bad as what we projected that it would be when we were looking at what was forecast. It doesn't always come out the way you weather doesn't come out in the forecast. Economic things don't come out the way that they have projected. We don't know the future. But your level of hope, in a natural sense, is the projection of what you view your past and your present, and you'll project that into the future. Now, here's the question. Can it be skewed? Can your projection into the future be skewed? Yes, it can. It's not always the way you think it is. Now, I put this statement, I believe I put it in your notes. There is enough good and bad in your life to manufacture either happiness or discouragement. You've got a lot of raw material in your life. Things that happen, things that are said about you, things that you hoped was going to come about and it didn't, things went wrong, but then there were some things that went right. We talk about the good old days. I remember my uncle saying to me, I was a little fella and he was in his 90s, and I remember him saying to me one time, the good old days weren't as good as you think they were. But, you know, we will remember certain things. So, I want you to know your hope is manufactured. I'm talking about a natural hope. It's manufactured. It's manufactured on how you view your past, how you interpret what happened, and your situation right now. Most things are not 50-50. But if they were 50-50, well, you could look at all the negative things and you could just get yourself into despair. Because as I project forward, because I'm viewing everything negative that happened, every wrong thing, every hurt, I've held on and nursed every injury I received, every neglect, every offense, I'm rehearsing them in my mind. I'm turning them over and over again. Oh, that shouldn't have happened. Why did that happen? Oh, that was so bad. And you go over the hurt. And you've heard me share this before. When you go over an emotional hurt, you rewound yourself as if it's the first time. And you wouldn't think about injuring yourself. Say you took a hammer and you were nailing in a nail and you missed and you hit your thumb and it hurt, and then you told someone, you know what, let me show you what I did there, and you put the thing and you bang it again and you go, oh, yeah, it hurt, yeah. And then you tell someone else, let me tell you what happened yesterday. I had the hammer like this and you go over. Like, we wouldn't think about doing that physically. We'd say that, you know, you're crazy to do that physically. You're just re-injuring. You are causing more damage by going over it again. But we do it emotionally. And psychologists tell us that rehearsing a hurt will re-inflict it. And so the first time it happened, you cope pretty well. But a week later, you're a mess. Because you've told everybody the wrong. You've gone over it from every angle of how hurtful that was. And it just magnifies it. And so you're feeling, now I'm going to project that into the future. And so you lose hope. No one's good. No one's helpful. No one does everything. I have to do everything. Well, are you doing everything? Or are you doing the things, and that the things you're doing becomes everything to you? Do you see what someone else is going through? Do I only see what I'm going through? You know, there's so many implications of this, of how you view your past and your present and how it affects your hope going forward into the future. And this is why Philippians 4:8 is so powerful in the scripture. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue, and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. Think on those things. Those are the things you should focus on. Think on the good things. Were there bad things? Yes, there were bad things. Were there more bad things? Possibly. But what were the good things? Well, you say, well, you know what? You're just going through this whole mental thing of, yes, you are. It's what your focus is. Is your focus on negative or on positive? There are enough negatives that if you focus on it, you'll get yourself down into despair. But there's other good things. Not just what happened, but what is God doing in this situation? What is God producing through this? Yeah, like Joseph said to his brothers, you meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. What's the good that God might be wanting you? Focus rather on what you're going through, but to how you should respond to what you're going through. What is God producing in me? The Bible says, perseverance, you know, that tribulation produces perseverance, and perseverance, hope. Or character, and character, hope. There's a progression of that which starts off being negative actually produces in the final product love, if you go through that progression in 1 Peter. And so you've got to focus. It's a helmet. Hope is a helmet. There's things bombarding your thinking. Comments of other people. Your recollection of what happened. And folks, we all have a memory that is particular. I mean, we just have a selective memory. It selects certain things, and you will think about those things, and they become huge to you. Unless you say, you know what? God is bigger than this situation, and I see good things in this, because there's enough good things in your life that if you focus just on the good things, it will produce hope in your heart going forward. Now you say, well, what if my hope is misplaced? What if I do all that, but it doesn't turn out? Well, listen, I think I put this. I'm not familiar with my notes as well as I normally am. With hope, you are better equipped to handle the present and affect the future. Listen, you might as well enjoy the present. If you have hope, you'll enjoy today. I think tomorrow's going to get better. Well, what if it doesn't? Well, I'm going to enjoy today. I'll enjoy today much better than if I get gloomy over today. I can't control tomorrow, but I'm gonna hope that things get better. I'm gonna have a hope in that. I'll enjoy today much better. Why'd I be gloomy today and tomorrow? I'm much better to take the thought, you know, it's gonna get better, so I enjoy today. And when you're enjoying today, you're better equipped to handle and affect the future. You approach something with a different attitude. You approach it with, you know, we can do this, we can handle this, rather than, oh, there's nothing we can do about this. And then you get down, you get despondent, and then people react to you because you're in this mood. This mood is settled over you because you're not thinking on good things. You've lost hope. I mean, you can't live a second without hope. I tell you this, I don't think you can live your spiritual life without hope. Because the God is our life. And God has good things for us. Let's go on. What is the basis of our hope? Because, you could go through this whole process and leave God out of it. Well, what will be the effect there? Well, it says in Proverbs 10:28, the expectation of the wicked, it will perish. The expectation of the wicked will perish. So this is not just, you know, thinking positive. Think positive about things. Because in the final run, people that reject God, live in sin, and just follow their lives regardless of what God wants and what God's leading, it does say their hope, you know, the expectation of the wicked will perish. So there has to be an anchor for our hope. What's the anchor? Hebrews 6:19. This hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which enters the presence behind the veil. I don't know what I would do without the Lord. I really don't. I don't know how I would cope. I don't know how I could keep an optimistic attitude. I couldn't keep a joyful spirit. If I thought there's nothing that is beyond just circumstance and happenings, what people do and people say, if I don't have hope in God, that I don't have something that anchors my soul, we really will be tossed all over the place with whatever happens. And I feel bad when I see people that way. One day they're up, one day they're up. It depends what they've been thinking about that day or what happened that day. That there's nothing that... They have no anchor to their soul. Your soul needs an anchor. And the anchor is the hope of God. We hope in God. It's the anchor of our soul. And folks, it is sure and it's steadfast. We don't have to doubt. God is all powerful. He's in control. And he works for the best good of everyone. This is the God that we serve. My life's verse, Romans 8:28, and we know that all things work together for good to those who love God and are the called according to his purpose. Do you know it? If you know it, it's an anchor for your soul. You won't be tossed all over. Do you know that all things include bad things, difficult things, offenses, wrongs, sins, all those things, all things, God's working together for good. They're not good within themselves, but he's working it for good. And for you to lock into that promise, all you have to do is say, Lord, I love you. I give my heart to you. I put you first. I love you, and I want your purpose in my life. Whatever plan you have for me, I'm not trying to follow someone else's plan. I don't want to be like them or that, but whatever plan you have for me, This is your plan for my life. This is how you want me to live. You've planned for me to have this. Why was Joseph sold? It was God's plan. You know, why did Potiphar's wife lie about him? It was God's plan. Why did his brother sell him? Well, he said it. You meant it for evil. God meant it for good. Do you know it? Is it an anchor for your soul? You know, we're lighting the light, the candle of hope. Do you have hope? To the degree you have hope, everything else comes from it. It'll flow out. Start with faith. Faith in God. Faith that he's working all things together for good. And then because I have a faith he's working all things together good, it establishes my hope. And then hope will produce the love and the expression that God wants me to have. I can treat unlovely people in a loving way. I can talk to irritating people and not be irritable. Because God is working something bigger here. You see more how you're to be an instrument to affect other people than I am a victim of what's happening to me. If you get the view that you're a victim, there's no hope. But when you go through a tough time and then you're thinking, Lord, how would you want me to respond? Obviously, you're in this. You're allowing this to happen. You've got a plan. You want to use me to shine like a bright light in this world. And so I'm going to do this without murmuring and complaining, because the Bible says when we do things without murmuring and complaining, it says we shine like bright lights in the world. Because, you know, we're not subject to what's happening to us. We're happy. We're optimistic. We're joyful. We have hope. God's working this out. It's going to come about. I think Pastor David said it the last time he spoke. Rather than saying, what if this happens? What if that happens? Think about, what if God? What if God does this? What if God's in the middle of this? What if God is acting in this? So whenever, what if, oh, if that happens, oh, that would be a terrible thing. But what if God is in it? Well, God is in it. Now, how do we know God is in it? Jeremiah 29:11. This is a powerful verse. Everybody should memorize this verse. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord. Thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. Your future is hopeful. God says, I know what I'm thinking about you. He knows you. He knows your situation. He made you just the way you are, with all your strengths and all your weaknesses. He knows about you. He knows your family. He knows all about your situation. And when God's thinking about you, you know what he's thinking about? It's good. It's not for evil. And it's to give you a future and a hope. God wants us to move into our future with hope in our heart because we're hoping in God. We're not hoping in, oh, I hope this, what this person. No, our hope is in God. Listen to this verse. Psalm 42, verse 5. Why are you cast down, O my soul? Why are you cast down? Why are you disquieted within me? Hope in God. You're only getting down and disquieted and irritated and upset because you're not hoping in God. You're hoping that the other person will change. You hope the situation will change. You're hoping I get more money. I hope my boss will the change at work. You're hoping a change in the circumstance. But what you need to do is hope in God. Just hope in God. Don't hope in the healing. Hope in the healer. Don't have hope that you'll be delivered. Hope in the deliverer. Don't hope that you'll be comforted. Hope in the comforter. Don't hope for the baptism. Hope in the baptizer. Our peace is a person. Our hope is a person. It comes in Jesus Christ. And when you have the healer, you will have whatever healing the healer wants to give you. And if you have the deliverer, then the deliverance will be according to what the deliverer wants to give you. And I don't have to predictate it. Don't hope in the answer to your prayer. Hope in the one that hears your prayer. There's a difference of where your hope is based. Hope in God. Hope in his character. Hope in his promises. That he's got good things in your future. And just take every day with an optimistic, confident, joyful attitude. I'm going to live today to the fullest because I'm full of hope. I may not see it today, but it doesn't matter if I see it today. I have hope in God. It ultimately is going to work together for good. These are powerful truths, and I'm praying that this will be lit in our heart. Well, is there a deadline, though? Is there some point where you say, yeah, I hoped right up until the end, but then in the end, it didn't work? I spoke about this, I think it was last summer, when we talked about hoping beyond the deadline. And here's the verse in Philippians 1 and verse 6. Being confident of this very thing. Confident. This is a part of hope. Confident expectation. Being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. So the work God is doing in you, you can't put a deadline on it. Well, it's up until next Thursday when it's due, or it's up to next month, or in a year's time, or until the project is due, or on to death. Well, if I'm dead, no sense of hope now. No, it doesn't say that he'll do a work until you're dead. It says he'll do a work until the day of Jesus Christ. When is the day of Jesus Christ? When he returns, when he comes back to this earth. And God is at work way beyond your life. You've heard me share this, and we'll close it. You know, my grandfather prayed for his granddaughters, or his children, his daughters, sorry. My grandfather prayed for his daughters to come to the Lord. I was a little fellow. We had a double house. We would do prayers. He'd be praying for his daughters who were not serving the Lord at that time. And he would pray for them to come back and serve God. And I remember listening to these prayers. Well, Grandpa passed away. He never saw it. But I saw my aunts come back to the Lord. They came back to the Lord. And I always say they came back with a vengeance. They really did, because they were powerful women of God who were influential in my life. And I can tell you the story of both aunts, how they benefited us, benefited this church and all the things. My grandpa didn't see it. But God was at work until the day of Jesus Christ. He didn't see it, but it happened. And the other illustration I used from the past summer was when Paul was in prison and he wanted to preach the gospel. He wanted to start churches. He wanted to travel and speak to people. And boy, he couldn't. He was in prison. He was praying and he said, pray with me that a door and opportunity would be open. In other words, he wanted to get out of there. I'm praying that I'll come to you, but I can't come to you, so I'm going to send this letter to you. And I wish I could be with you in person, but I can't be there in person. I'll send you this letter. You know, most of these verses, or a lot of these verses I read this morning, were from his letters. He wanted to get out and be able to affect the kingdom of God, and he died martyred from prison. But God was at work until the day of Jesus Christ. He's at work until the day of Jesus Christ. So you can't put a deadline, okay, now it's too late. It's never too late with God until Jesus comes. He's still at work. He's at work in your life. He's at work in your family. Live your life each day with hope. Follow God. Say, I love God. I want his plan and purpose for me. Do your best. But do it with joy. Don't do it out of drudgery and out of sadness and out of despair. And you're people look at you and you call yourself a Christian, but you're always complaining about everything. And you're down and you don't like what's happening. And you're just spewing all the despair. Be a person of hope. Let this light be ignited within you at this season. Let's stand together. As we've done every week, why don't we just pray here right now? Oh, Lord, I find it easy to speak of these things, but Lord, I need your Holy Spirit to help me to live it out. I need hope in you. I ask, Lord, you'd put a helmet over each one of our minds. When things penetrate and we see the negative and we feel the hurts and the offenses, Lord, may there be a helmet that all these things would just bounce off of us. We're thinking on good things. We're jumping to the best conclusion. We're believing you're at work, even when we don't see it, you're working. I ask, Lord, that we would move from despair to hope. That hope would be the most noticeable thing about our life. That people would see that we're hopeful, optimistic, confident, sure of the future, excited about the future. Because you're with us. And your plans for us are good plans. They're not meant for evil. And they're giving us a future and a hope. May we lay hold of this morning. May this candle be lit in our hearts, I pray, in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen, amen, amen.